I'll just say about that poor man that wrote that, that he wasn't very correct on his theology. If he would read the Word of God more carefully, he would find that God's judgment is for all who reject His mercy. But here in Exodus chapter 12, I want to read part of this very interesting chapter, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. A little further down in the chapter, verse 28, And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. I would like just to read as a text that lovely verse in John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Now I trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word this evening. Now I believe, beloved friend, when John spoke those words, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, he likely had in his mind a number of Old Testament scriptures. And I believe likely that this portion that we've been reading in Exodus chapter 12 was in the mind of John. Of course, if we were to trace the truth of God's word concerning the Lamb of God, I believe we would have to go back to the very day of man's sin. Because I believe it was in the day of man's sin that God gave the first indication that he, in his wisdom, was going to and in his grace, was going to provide a way of salvation through the death of an innocent victim. I think that's where Abel learned his lesson. having heard God's promise to send a Savior, having heard from his parents how God, through the death of an innocent victim, had provided a covering, a coat, for his parents who had sinned, Abel, when he offered to God a substitute, offered the firstling of his flock, a lamb of the flock. Now, I don't know whether it was sheep or goat, but it was a firstling, a lamb of the flock. You remember the story of Isaac going up the Mount Moriah in company with his father. His heart stirred, his heart aroused as he saw the implements of sacrifice. He saw the fire and the wood. And you remember the question of Isaac, "My father, behold the fire and the wood, where's the lamb?" Where is the lamb? I believe that likely was in the mind of John as well. And what a wonderful answer that dear father gave. "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Oh, how wonderful is that statement, my beloved friend. God in his grace was going to provide, but God was going to provide himself to be the lamb of the burnt offering. And so as John looked that day on the Lord Jesus Christ, how true were the words that he was speaking, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That was the Lamb of provision, was it not? The Lamb that God provided. Now here in our chapter that we've been reading, Exodus chapter 12, we have the Lord Jesus pictured as the Lamb of protection. The Lamb of protection. Because you remember the words that we were reading down in verse 13, God said there, "When I see the blood of the Lamb." Oh, God was looking for the blood, beloved, of a certain Lamb. He was looking for that blood to be applied in a certain way and in a certain place. Now that seems very simple, doesn't it? And to many, God's simple way, his simple plan of salvation is too simple. And they want to add something to it. But my beloved friend, I will press this home at the very commencement this evening. God is still looking for blood. He's not looking for a good life, a moral, respectable life. He's looking for blood. He's not looking for a church membership. He's looking for blood. He's not looking for a baptismal certificate. He's looking for blood. And I want to tell you, my beloved friend, as clearly and plainly as I possibly can, that the only thing that is going to satisfy God and bring you deliverance from the judgment that you deserve as a sinner is blood. Only the blood of Christ is going to secure your forgiveness and pardon and deliverance from that storm of judgment that is coming. Now here in this story, beloved, in this book of Exodus, we have God speaking again and again in the land of Egypt. He was speaking to Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt, and he, like many a foolish person before and since, was hardening his heart against God, was resisting the voice of God, was refusing to bow to the authority and the word of God. My friend, that is a terrible, terrible mistake to make. Let God be God, my friend. It is God against whom we have sinned who has made known the only possible way in which we can be brought into our right relationship with himself, and he declares it is through the blood. Now this is typical here. This is a picture of what God had before him, beloved, from eternity past. God, looking down the corridor of time, saw man as a rebel, guilty sinner. And God loved man. My beloved friend, you know, if you go on in your sins, you're going to have to go to hell. But you'll not go to hell unloved. God loves you, young person. You may be a rebel against God. You may be determined to go in your own way, to do your own thing. I want to tell you tonight that God loves you. And I want to tell you that God has done everything He possibly can to keep you from going to hell, to make it possible for you to be saved and to be in His heaven. Now God spoke again and again and again in the land of Egypt. Oh, how plainly the voice of God was heard. Have you heard it in this land? You know, I am amazed as I look about your fair island, and I love your island because I love the people here. But look, as I look around this island and I see something of what happened in a little tiny storm, and I think of that awful, overwhelming storm of judgment that is coming. Oh, my beloved friend, are you hearing the voice of God? I believe you should be hearing it, even in the storms that He said. You should be hearing it in the events that are taking place, the terrible events that are taking place in our world today. Our world is going down at an awful rate to hell. Are you going to go? Are you going to go on, my friend, in your stubbornness, in your willfulness, in your rejection of God and His Word? Are you going to go on and perish? You know, it's the simple that pass on and are perished. The wise person will hear and will heed and will respond to God. God wants you to be a wise person, friend. Listen to what He's saying to you. There's judgment, there's eternity ahead. An eternity to be endured, or an eternity to be enjoyed, and you're going to decide which one. Maybe you'll decide it tonight. You may leave the meeting once too often, rejecting Christ. God may take you at your word, my friend, and God's Spirit may cease to strive with you. And you go on in your indifference to waken when it's too late. In a lost eternity, God forbid. God forbid. God says one plague more. It's going to be a plague of judgment. It's going to be a plague of judgment. You know, actually, in this story, you have two scenes of judgment. You have the judgment on the innocent victim. The judgment on the innocent substitute. You have an innocent substitute dying. It's bloodshed. It's death. And then, friend, you have the death of the guilty. You know, friend, it was in Egypt, it was either the death of a substitute or it was the death of the guilty. And so God is telling us in this story, beloved friend, that He, the just judge, is not going to be satisfied unless there is bloodshed, unless there's judgment, either upon a guiltless, innocent substitute, or upon the guilty. Now, friend, this little lamb, oh, the lamb, the bleeding lamb. Why, this lamb tells those of us who believe God's word, oh, it tells us such a precious message, does it not? It tells us about God's beloved Son. Because the Lamb of God that John pointed out, beloved friend, was the Lamb that God provided to be your substitute and mine, to die in our place, that we might be spared that awful death of separation and eternal punishment. Yes, He was God's Lamb the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God is seen here as a judge, and then he's seen as a Savior. And you know, if you don't meet him as a Savior, you will meet him as a judge. You're not be able to avoid that, friend. You may avoid meeting him as Savior. You may keep him out of your heart and life. You may refuse to receive him. But I want to tell you, you may avoid meeting him as Savior, but you'll not then avoid meeting him as judge. Now, which is it going to be for you? Oh, my friend, what wilt thou say when he will punish thee? The greater sin that you can commit, my friend, is to refuse God's offer of mercy and salvation. To refuse the pardon that he has purchased for you in the death of his beloved Son. Oh, why, there's so much about this lamb that we'd like to think about. Oh, this was a perfect little lamb. You know, that means so much to God, doesn't it? And it should mean much to us. Thank God there was a perfect one who was able to take our place, a sinless one, a holy one, who could die as our substitute. I couldn't die for you. You couldn't die for me. Why, my friend, if you were only guilty of one sin, you couldn't die for me. If I was only guilty of one sin, I couldn't die for you. I'd have to die for my own sin. Mind you, it was one sin that shut Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. That shows you something of how serious sin is in the eyes of a holy God. And God says, you're a sinner, friend. And you better believe it. And you should let it trouble your heart, because you're going to have to meet God with your sins unless they're forgiven, unless they're pardoned. I say God is seen here as a judge and a Savior. He's seeking sinners to punish them, but he's seeking as well to bless them. He has a way for men to be blessed today. Does it agree with you? Do you like God's way? Well, that doesn't matter, my friend. You accept God's way of salvation, or you will have to accept his judgment. Now, I say God is seen here as a judge. A judge who is absolutely righteous and holy. A judge whose claims against guilty sinners must be satisfied. Thank God for the work of Christ. Oh, friend, for the precious blood of Christ shed at the place called Calvary, your God-provided substitute. He died as your substitute, in order that you might be delivered from death. In order that God might be able to meet you as a Savior God and not as a judge. The judge was satisfied by the death of the innocent one, the just one, for we the unjust. Now, friend, look, if God is satisfied with the death of that substitute that he provided to die for you and for me, why shouldn't we be satisfied? Why shouldn't we be satisfied? Oh, my friend, but you say it's so simple. You're just telling people to believe on someone who died. Listen, friend, it's simple to us. But it wasn't simple to the one who died for us. Oh, what it cost the Lord Jesus to come, the beloved Son of God, to come down to this world because he loved you, because he loved me. He came to this world. He lived here. They despised him. And many still do. They rejected him. And many still are rejecting him. But God didn't turn him aside from that pathway. He went on straight to Calvary, friend. And he laid down his life as sacrifice for you and me. There, beloved friend, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, my friend, this is God's word, and it's God's way. It's salvation through the death of an innocent, sinless substitute, and it means deliverance from that awful eternity of separation for all who will accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, put their trust in His precious shed blood. Now the blood had to be shed, this little lamb, in Exodus chapter 12. And that blood satisfied the claims of God that was shed at Calvary. But there was something else about that blood, beloved. Not only did it have to be shed, it had to be applied. And that's your part and mine. Now, of course, they were applying literal blood. We don't do that, friend. But by faith, when we believe God, that we were sinners, lost, deserving judgment, and then we believe the word of God that Christ was the divinely provided substitute who died for us, who received the judgment that we deserve. And we trust his death as having satisfied God's claims against us. Then, my friend, we're taking shelter beneath the blood of Christ. But that blood must be applied. It isn't blood in the basin, you see. They were to take a simple little weed, I believe, likely it was, something very common, and they were to dip it in the blood, and they were to apply it. You see, it isn't the greatness of your faith and mine that saves us. It's the blood. God didn't say, when I see your faith, I'll save you. Faith, beloved, is simply taking that blood as having been shed for me, believing God's record, that Christ died for me, the guilty sinner, and I'll trust him and his precious blood for salvation. Now, friend, are you sheltered tonight by the blood? Oh, I say back in Genesis chapter 22, the lamb there is the lamb of provision. But here, it's the lamb of protection. Because all who took shelter beneath the blood of that innocent lamb, God says, I'll pass over them. I'll protect them. I'll protect them from the judgment that is coming. Friend, have you a shelter tonight? Are you sheltered by the blood of the Lamb? Are you sheltered safe, my friend? Oh, have you got a refuge? God is showing us, I believe, in the happenings in our world today, that time has run out. The hour is late. The day of salvation is over. Just over. In its closing moments, God is giving sinners an opportunity to secure a shelter by trusting in the death of Christ, that precious shed blood of the place called Calvary. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Friend, look, God won't take anything out. God is looking for blood. That speaks of death. And it's either going to be the blood of the innocent just one, the substitute. He himself provided. Or else it'll have to be yours. Now, my friend, you're going to decide. You may be deciding right now to get out of this meeting, to forget what you're hearing, to neglect. My friend, if you do, this may be your last opportunity. God has spoken once and again in this island. God has spoken once and again to you. God has offered you pardon and salvation through the work of Christ. Heaven. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus tonight? Oh, friend, they were, in verse 7, God told them through Moses that they were to take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts. Now, that word strike is rendered 1023 times in our Bible, give. Give. G-I-V-E. And here it's rendered strike. But you could put in that word give. Take something and give it. Take what? Take the death of the substitute that God has provided for you and give it to God as your claim, as the basis of your claim for his blessing of salvation. Will you do that tonight? Oh, friend, listen. Judgment is certain. Judgment is sure. It came to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. All who were not sheltered by the blood of the Lamb, judgment fell. And we read there was a great cry in Egypt. What an awful cry. Will come from Spanish wells. From your heart, sinner friend. You're trifling with this matter. You're not in earnest about it. God wants you to be an earnest young person, older person. Yes, the devil will tell you there's plenty of time. Your friends, if you listen to them, will lead you in the pathway that goes to death and judgment. But remember, none of them will go to hell for you. Oh, my beloved friend, there is a Lamb. God points you to the Lamb of God pictured here. Precious, perfect, sacrificed. You don't have to put him to death. He died, friend. He rose again. He's alive tonight. He wants to be your Lamb, your sacrifice, your Savior. Will you have it? Will you simply receive him as your own? I remember before God saved me, I wanted to be saved. And the preacher would say, well, all you have to do is believe. And I thought to myself, but I do believe. I've always believed. You know, it, that word believe seemed to just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, there's another word. God says receive. As many as receive him. Will you receive Christ, the Son of God, as your Lord and Savior? Will you believe, my friend, that he died for you and receive him as yours tonight? Because God's word says if you'll receive him, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Behold, friend, oh, look away from yourself. Look away from everything that hinders you. Let nothing stop you. Look away, friend, to the Lamb of God tonight. He died for you. He died for you. He died for your sins. Oh, friend, trust the one who died for you, who paid your sin debt. Receive him as your Savior. God's word for it. If you do, you'll be saved. Now we're going to ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll sing a verse or two of a hymn, and the meeting will be over. But friend, what about it tonight? Are you going again to leave without Christ? Remember, friend, there's an eternity without Christ ahead. Oh, my friend, don't make a mistake and miss Christ and miss salvation. Well, you say, I intend to be saved. My friend, this is your opportunity. Receive Christ tonight. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Yes, Lord, to many in the world, the message of life through the death of another is a message of foolishness. The message of salvation through shed blood is rejected. And yet we hear Thy voice echoing through the pages of Thy Word. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And we know, Father, that there's only the blood of Christ that can secure protection from that storm of judgment that is coming. Oh, we thank Thee we do not have to find a little lamb today. We do not have to offer a sacrifice. We thank Thee that Thou didst so love us, that Thou didst give Thy Son to die, our substitute, our sin-bearer, our sacrifice. But, oh, Father, Thy Word tells us that we must trust Him, we must receive Him. We must put our trust in that work that He did for Thy glory and for our salvation when He died on the cross at Calvary. Father, we just trust Thee to use Thy Word in the hearts of dear ones in this meeting tonight. Oh, may the enemy who would deceive them be rebuked, and may they not leave the meeting until they know for sure they're saved from that storm that's coming, saved to be in God's fair heaven for eternity. Grant Thy blessing then upon Thy Word, not only here but everywhere where Christ is preached. We pray in His precious and holy name. Now shall we sing 137. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Well, now how do I get plunged beneath that flood? The chorus, I do believe, I will believe, that Jesus died for me, that on the cross He shed His blood from sin to set me free. Now we'll just sing the first two verses and the chorus, and then the meeting will be over. I hope, friend, you'll be able to sing this chorus from the very bottom of your heart. I do believe, I will believe right now that Jesus died for me, that on the cross He shed His blood from sin to set me free. God grant it. Verses 1 and 2, 137.